Translation: O wise Sutta, please narrate to us the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Godhead's multi-incarnations. Such auspicious adventures and pastimes of the Lord, the Supreme Controller, are performed by His internal powers. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. For the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material worlds, the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead Himself, appears in many thousands of forms of incarnations, and the specific adventures found in those transcendental forms are all auspicious. Both those who are present during such activities and those who hear the transcendental narratives of such activities are benefited. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in His original feature, is known as Krishna or Govinda. The transcendental son of Nanda and Yashoda, Krishna is the original form of the Lord who dwells in His abode, the topmost place in the entire creation. The spiritual world and the material world together make up the entire creation. And it is said that the spiritual world constitutes 3/4 of this creation. So the topmost planet in the spiritual world is known as Goloka Vrindavan. This planet, Goloka Vrindavan, is the place. It is divided into 3 sections: Vrindavan and Mathura and Dwarka. So in the land of Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna, in the form of Govinda, or the cowherd boy, is eternally present. And this is the topmost form of the Lord. But it is described, Advaitam, Achutam, Anadi, Ananda Rupam. Ananda Rupam means unlimited forms. That this Supreme Personality of Godhead has unlimited forms. Sometimes it's described that there are as many forms or incarnations of the Lord as there are waves in the ocean. So there's no way to calculate how many waves there are in the ocean. Similarly, there's no way to calculate the number of incarnations or forms there are of the Lord. But it is described that every one of these forms of the Lord possesses some or all qualities of the Lord. This is the wonderful feature. Just like when Krishna danced in the Raslila dance, he expanded himself so that every gopi could see that she was dancing with Krishna. Similarly, in Dwarka, Krishna again expanded himself unlimitedly, many, many times over, so that every one of the 16,000 wives was able to live in the palace with Krishna. Krishna expanded himself 16,000 times, so that when his great devotee, Narada Muni, came to visit Dwarka, when Narada Muni went into each house, each palace, he found the Lord was present there, engaged in different pastimes, sometimes with his children, sometimes with one of his wives, sometimes doing one thing, sometimes doing another thing. It wasn't simply that the Lord increased his number, but was doing the same thing. He was doing entirely individual different activities in each place. This means that the form of the Lord in one palace and another palace were all just as good as each other. So there are technically different names in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatan Goswami. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has described the technical details of the differences between the various different expansions and incarnations of the Lord. Just like the first expansion is Sri Balaramji, the brother of Lord Krishna. So Lord Balaram is exactly equal to Krishna in every respect, the only difference being in the color of the Lord. So in this way, the different expansions or incarnations are found to be different on account of their particular forms, which may be different, for example, or on account of the different pastimes which they may exhibit, just like Lord Ram, Nrisimha, Varaha. These are all pastime incarnations of the Lord. They incarnate for exhibiting various different pastimes, and they all have their abodes also in the spiritual world. They're eternal forms of the Lord. Then they're also just like the expansions in Dwarka of the king who married the queens, and the expansions in the Rasa dance. They're exactly like the original Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. So then there are the Chaturvyuha, the original four Vasudev, Shankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. So these four are expansions from Lord Balaram, Lord Krishna, and they're present on the Vasudeva is present in Mathura and Dwarka. And then they expand themselves to a second set of four who was present on the Vaikuntha planet, and this set expands themselves again. From each one of these comes three other expansions of the Lord, altogether 24 expansions of the Lord. In this way, Krishna is expanding himself unlimitedly. Just like it's described that there's a candle, and from this candle is lit another candle, and from that candle is lit another candle, and from that candle is lit another, and another, and another, and another. And you can go on lighting candles unlimitedly, and all of them are of the same flame. They're all of the same flame. So sometimes people see that the devotees are worshipping Lord Ram, and then sometimes they're worshipping Lord Krishna, sometimes they're worshipping Narayan, sometimes they're worshipping Vishnu. And in this way, people who are in ignorance think, oh, you're worshipping many gods. No. We're worshipping the same one God in many forms. But these are all called Vishnu Tattva. Vishnu Tattva is not to be, the Vishnu Tattva personalities should not be confused with the demigods. The demigods are called Jiva Tattva, Vishnu Tattva, and Jiva Tattva, and Shakti Tattva. These are different truths. We have to clearly understand the distinction between these three. Vishnu Tattva, just like Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita. Now, these are all Vishnu Tattva. That means Sri Krishna Chaitanya is Krishna himself. Nityananda Prabhu is Balaram. Sri Advaita is Mahavishnu. So these are Vishnu Tattva. Then Sri Gadadhar is the expansion of Radharani. So Shakti Tattva. This is another special truth. And then Shrivas is the expansion of Narad Muni, Jiva Tattva. So we're not worshipping anyone else's God except Vishnu Tattva. This is the point. These are all expansions of those candles. But Jiva Tattva is a different thing. Jiva Tattva means the living entity. Mamai Vangsho. Mamai Vangsho. Jiva Loke. Jiva Bhuta. Sanatana. Maangsha. This is a separated, the living entity is called the separated energy of the Lord. So there's a difference between the energy and the energetic. When we say God, we mean the energetic. Another word means Purusha, the supreme male, the supreme predominator. All of these forms, Lord Ram, Lord Nrisimha, Lord Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are Vishnu Tattva. They are the supreme personality of Godhead as enjoyer, predominator, energetic. Then the jivas are the energy, just like each one of us, jiva. Lord Brahma is a jiva. It is a different thing. It is not to be confused. We're not worshipping many demigods. Lord Indra, Vayu, Varuna. These are individual jivas. So they're not being, they're very empowered. When, on the other hand, it doesn't mean that we consider the demigods as ordinary. No. We respect the demigods because they're empowered by Krishna for fulfilling certain functions and positions. Just like sometimes you'll respect a particular law enforcement agent because he's been empowered by the government. So he's no longer... What is going on there? Stop all these messages. Just get this message. If you get this message, you go back to Godhead. This is the most important message. Carry this message forward every day and you'll go back to Godhead. So... even though someone may be ordinary, if they become particularly qualified, then they become elevated to a higher position, just like a Supreme Court judge. Because he's particularly qualified, he becomes highly elevated. So in the same way, any living entity, just like any devotee of the Lord who becomes very pure, if he possesses still a little bit of desire to lord it over, he may be given the position of a demigod. The demigods are pure devotees, but they still have a tinge of desire to lord it over. So they're given the position of demigod, and they are very much entrusted persons. So we give all respect to the demigod. But worship, the worship is reserved for Vishnu Tattva, that means for God, not for demigods, not for living entities, not for Jiva Tattva. Of course, on the other hand, Shakshat Haritvena Samasta Shastri Riktashtatava Vadeva Sadri. On the other hand, someone who's a 100% pure devotee of the Lord, who is completely pure in every respect, he's given equal worship as the Lord. So, actually, a pure devotee is considered even more exalted than a powerful demigod. So, there are so many unlimited expansions. Then, beyond the realm of the spiritual world, we come into the material aspect, the material creation. And there we find one of the great expansions or incarnations of the Lord, known as Mahavishnu. The great form of the Lord lying down in the causal ocean. This Mahavishnu, with his simple glance, impregnates all of the living entities, or impregnates the material potency known as Durga. Durga means the material potency of the Lord. She is also one of the wives of the Lord for material sight. Sometimes, just like a husband wakes up his wife, so in the same way it's described that Lord Mahavishnu glanced over Durga to arouse his material, so-called material potency, into activity. Just like a husband likes to see his wife active. So, the spiritual nature, the spiritual potency, she was already active. But this Durga was lying in a sleeping state. So, by glancing, Mahavishnu activated Durga, and gradually the whole material creation unfolds. Mahavishnu, the great Viratarup, this Viratarup, or universal form that Krishna showed to Arjuna, is the aspect of Mahavishnu. This is Mahavishnu. All of the everything is present within him. So when he finally divides up, when the Mahatattva, or the material aspect, divides up, and there are so many universes formed out of the body of Mahavishnu, from every one of his skin holes is coming millions and millions and millions of universes. You just understand, just like a man going underwater, when he breathes, so many bubbles come up underwater. So similarly, they're like, just like so many bubbles, each universe is one bubble, coming out of the breathing of Mahavishnu. One breath, billions of universes are expanded. And within each one of those universes, as the material elements form within those universes, Mahavishnu expands himself as another Vishnu called Garbhodakshahi Vishnu. And this Garbhodakshahi Vishnu is lying down in the ocean. You see, in the Garbhodaka ocean. And it is from him, from his navel, will come the lotus on which the four-headed Chaturmukha Brahma, four-headed, four-faced Lord Brahma is born. Our universe, this particular one, is the smallest universe. So our Brahma only has four heads. There are some universes where Brahma has 100 heads, 1,000 heads, 1,000,000 heads. Such big universes exist, and such big Brahmas exist, you see. Still, those Brahmas are only jiva, sattva, living entities, fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Within this Garbhodakshahi Vishnu, laying down in the Garbhodaka ocean, from which Lord Brahma will be born, all of the universes are contained within him. All the living entities are also within his being. You see. So gradually, Lord Brahma sits down to meditate, and Brahma also is considered Gunavatar. Gunavatar means he is the living entity. Oh, time for you to go into the kitchen for kitchen duty. You can relieve someone. Anyone that falls asleep goes for kitchen service. Kitchen department. So, this Gunavatar. Gunavatar means the empowered person. Lord Brahma is in charge of the mode of passion, creation. Gunavatar, Lord Shiva, and Vishnu. These are the three avatars. So, each one of these is in charge of a particular mode of material nature. And then the various demigods become manifest. And they're also empowered by the Lord, the different demigods. All of these are different forms of the Lord in one aspect or another. Satyavish avatar. Satyavish avatar means a particular jiva who is empowered for a specific purpose. Just like you may say that Lord Jesus is Shaktavish avatar. He's one of the empowered living entities. As Srila Prabhupada was called by one astrologer as Shaktavish avatar. Prabhupada said, yeah, that is a fact. That a living entity becomes empowered by the Supreme Lord for the fulfilling of the Lord's work. You see? Actually, we should understand what is the position of Srila Prabhupada. It's like, let us consider the great personalities who have appeared in our, to our knowledge on this planet, this earth. How far they have were able to expand God consciousness within their lifetime. Just like Lord Buddha, within his lifetime, how far did he expand his teachings? Only within a certain area of India. Muhammad expanded his teachings only within a certain area. Lord Jesus, he expanded his teachings within an area. That area, the Middle Eastern area. Even within the more present day and age, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expanded his preaching throughout South India. And he deputed Rupa Goswami to expand the preaching in the Vrindavan area. And Nityananda Prabhu was empowered to expand the preaching in the eastern part of India. But practically, who has ever, even Bhaktisiddhanta, expanded his preaching all over India? But where has anyone before ever expanded the preaching throughout the entire earth? Consider this point in an impartial way. Who has ever preached as widely as Srila Prabhupada preached? You may say that this is a partisan feeling, but I think it is not partisan. If one sees objectively what Srila Prabhupada has done in an objective, impartial way, who has ever done this? Of course, there are many people who travel around the world, but they travel for the business of cheating. There are many gurus that come around the world, but they cheat. Who has ever before delivered the highest truth so far and wide as Srila Prabhupada? 16 times around the world, opening up more than 100 temples and establishing the deity of Krishna in more than 100 temples, creating 10,000 disciples, all of them on the platform of pure devotional service, writing more than 80 volumes of 400 pages each, transcendental books, and all within a period of 10 years. Who has ever preached to that extent? Therefore, actually, by the grace of Krishna, the devotee can become more capable than Krishna himself. By the grace of God, if he wants to, he can empower someone to even surpass him. Because Srila Prabhupada's preaching has surpassed the preaching of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered one Jagayan Madai. How many Jagayan Madais Srila Prabhupada delivered? Every one of us is Jagayan Madai. Every one of us was addicted to all bad habits just like Jagayan Madai. But Srila Prabhupada was able. I recall one man we were speaking. Prabhupada was speaking in Gorakhpur. He was giving a lecture. So this one man, he asked for questions, and this one man who was visiting said, yes. He said, what is your opinion of Sri Ramakrishna? So Srila Prabhupada said, well, what is your opinion of Sri Ramakrishna? So the man said, oh, well, he is certainly the incarnation of God himself. So Prabhupada said, why do you say, do you know what the qualification is for incarnation? If in order for someone to be incarnation, he must do something very wonderful. What is his qualification? He said, yes. He said, didn't you know? He said, this man said, Sri Ramakrishna once delivered a big police official and made him a great devotee, even though he was a drunkard. Prabhupada sat back and started to laugh. He said, if that is all you have to do to become an incarnation, He said, then I am the biggest of incarnations, because all of my disciples who you see sitting here, they're all drunkards. They're all woman hunters. They're all addicted to all sinful activities. He said, that is all I have to preach to is people like that. He said, if that is the meaning of incarnation, then I am the biggest incarnation of all. So actually, it is a fact that by the grace of Krishna, Prabhupada was able to preach even greater than Krishna himself. That is actually a fact. That Prabhupada's preaching surpasses the preaching of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada said that Lord Chaitanya was very kind that he delivered India, but he left the rest of the world for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Prabhupada wrote that in the purport to one of his books, that Lord Chaitanya is very kind that he has allowed the rest of the world for ISKCON to deliver, thus spreading the glories. So Prabhupada would often say, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has predicted that in every town and village the glories of the holy name will be heard. So if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has predicted it, do you think that it will not happen? What is your opinion, Brett? Do you only think it will, or you know it will? Do you think that, can you say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a liar? God is not a liar. He's the supreme truth, absolute truth. So if he states something, it is bound to happen. So the real question is, if in every town and village the glories of the Lord will be chanted and sung, the only question is, who's going to take the credit for making that happen? And there is where the devotees come in. You see? It is already there. Just like Krishna said to Arjuna, these people in this battlefield, they're already killed by me. The question is simply that I want you to take the credit. So you fight for me, he told Arjuna, because they're all irreligious. They're all bad kings. He said, it's already decided that they're all going to die on this battlefield. He said, but you, my devotee, Arjuna, I want you to take the credit. So you go ahead and fight. So similarly, actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants us to take the credit. Prabhupada has indicated it is for ISKCON to take the credit for saving the world. Prabhupada said, I want to see that one day we'll go down in history that this society, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, it saved the world. And the world had better become saved. Because in every direction, fighting is breaking out. Now, there's again fighting in Vietnam. They spent so much men, so many lives were spent, and money was spent in Vietnam to end the war. And now the Vietnamese and the Cambodians, now they're fighting. In South Africa, there's big fighting going on. Despite all 6 years now, there's big fighting going on. There's no way it's going to end except an out-and-out war. And there's two different groups, you see. Apart from the whites and the blacks, there's within the African forces, there's two separate groups, and each one is holding back its troops because after they defeat the whites, then they're going to have to fight with each other to decide who's going to rule that government. Then in Egypt and Israel, fighting is going on. That's been going on since practically time eternal. It's been going on a long time. Yeah. And then in Iran, big fighting going on. At any moment, there's huge millions of Muslims are marching back and forth across Tehran and other places, observing the holy days, and at the same time asking for the blood, the life of the Shah. And then in Pakistan, now they're putting up, is Bhutto, who was the premier. Now he's being
given, he may be given a death sentence, and then there'll again be riots there. So where is there not fighting going on? Practically all over the world, fighting is going on more and more and more and more and more. This is the situation. Somehow, Krishna has arranged that this United States be spared so far. But how long it will be? The bigger nations, the big powers, Russia and America, they're armed to the teeth. Simply takes one push of a button, you see, by one top official, and the whole place can blow up. You should understand what a perilous condition the world is now faced with. And who's going to save it? The United Nations isn't going to save it. The politicians of the world, they're not going to save it. Despite all of their efforts, they're not bringing the peace to the world. But what is the only solution, Dr. Britt? What is the only method of distributing that God consciousness?
Through our books and devotees.
Yes. Through preaching work. Therefore, when someone says, why don't you do something valuable for the world? We look at them. Don't you realize, sir, we say to them, that the only thing left that can save the world is this Krishna consciousness movement. And the crazy law enforcement agents, they're stopping it. You just understand, they're trying to stop this movement. This one welfare activity, spreading of Krishna consciousness, the only possible way to save the world, and the leaders of the world, the politicians and others who have the power, they're trying to block this movement. Because this movement is calling their bluff. It's calling their bluff. This movement stands to reveal, you see, the false platform on which all these law enforcement agents and politicians are standing. Just like the chief of police of Houston now, I heard that he's been indicted on 4 criminal offenses, huh?
Yeah.
The chief of police. You see? So you're supposed to get protection from such people? Such criminals? And how many times everybody knows the big politicians, the big president of the United States was already exposed for what he did, the previous president? And you think that the new president or the president in the future will be that much different? They're all in the same business. The business of the cheaters and the cheated. This is the whole world is made up of cheaters and cheated. It is the world of materialists where you cannot expect any good qualities. Therefore, the only solution is that we have to deliver these people by the hand. Opportunity of giving them Krishna consciousness. And what is the easiest package to give someone Krishna consciousness? You give them a book. Here it is. In one little pound or 1 kilo of weight here, in a simple way, you can give someone the whole spiritual world. A man opens this up, the first thing he sees is the form of the spiritual master, the acharya, the transparent via media. And as he opens up, he sees that the cyclic succession, the panchatattva, then he begins to see Krishna himself, so many pictures is being shown here. Then he begins to read, and he gives a donation to get it. His whole devotional life has begun. Prabhupada said these books are just like deities.
If you can put a book into someone's hand and let him take it home, it's just like the man has installed a deity in his home. And these deities are very kind. They don't require the same type of service, because who can worship a deity like this? Even a devoted person would have trouble to worship the deity as we're doing in the temple. You have to take your bath 3:30 in the morning. You can't become contaminated in any way. Then you have to be in completely fresh clothing, preferably silks. Go on to the altar, spend hours there. You have to have garlands, and so much opulence has to be there. And the offering of the food has to be done exactly on time. Most people cannot do that. But here is a deity that can be worshipped by anyone without the fear of offense. How do you worship this book? It's very simple. You simply begin to hear by reading it, either here in the mind or here out loud, and immediately it is perfect worship. Nasta prayeshu baddeshu nittam bhagavata sevaya bhagavata uttama shloki bhaktiya bhaveti naishtaki. And one who hears this Srimad Bhagavatam, automatically devotional service becomes fixed up for him. So here is the method for changing the world. This transcendental book distribution. You see, if we push these books very widely, and not just to just anybody, because note, very few people will come to this temple. How many people come to this temple in one day, Brett?
Not that many at all.
Maybe 10 or 20? But how many people can one book distributor reach? Just like when you go out, how many people do you approach in one day?
A few hundred.
That means that you alone are 30 times more effective than this temple. If 10 people come here and 300 people you meet, that's 30 times. This temple is worth $80,000. So you're worth, just kind of calculate how much. You're at least worth $2.5 million to us. You're a pretty valuable asset, Dr. Brett. That's why to make a devotee is the most valuable thing of all. You see? The whole purpose of this book distribution is to make more devotees. And with more devotees, we can make more devotees. And what will we do with the more devotees? We'll make still more devotees. And when will we rest? When do you think our business will be finished?
Tomorrow.
Huh? When will it be finished?
When we leave our body. Or
why? What do you plan to do after you leave your body? Take a vacation?
No, it would be finished here.
How do you know? You know what a disciple's real prayer is? That he wants to come back birth after birth after birth to assist his spiritual master in his mission. He doesn't say, well, I'll give you 70 years, but then I'm going to see you. No, I'm going. No. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Mama janmani janmani yeshvare bhavatad bhakti rohaitra. Birth after birth. You just give me your causeless devotional service. He's not asking to be liberated. We pray to be able to again assist our spiritual master in his mission of delivering the fallen souls. So when will your work be done? Never?
When everyone is Krishna consciousness.
Everyone where?
Throughout the universe.
Right. That's the real point. When this universe becomes completely Krishna conscious and drops out of the Mahatattva, when we can send this universe back to the spiritual world, then Krishna will say, okay, now your work is done, you come on.
Not just that we want to deliver everyone. If we finish everybody on this planet, then we'll all go to the next planet. By then the scientists will have been able to get us up to another planet. So we'll take up the spaceship there, and we'll start there, Venus, or wherever they are. So, there's no limit, you see. There's no limit. And the goal is to make someone a devotee. Everyone here distributes these literatures. If you find, just say Keshav Bharati gave a group, someone came up to him, one lady came up yesterday and said, "You're a devotee, aren't you?" She said to Keshav Bharati, he said, "Yeah." He said, "What are you doing out here?" She said, "Well, I'm trying to do devotional service." She already had a Bhagavad Gita with her. She was reading, and then she gave him $7 and took a Bhagavatam. So this is the effect of book distribution. It's more and more helping people to become Krishna conscious. So we've got to go out and distribute more and more books, and whenever you find a friend like Keshav Bharati, tell him you should have gotten her name. Take their names so that we can send them an invitation to our temple. How many books we've distributed in this country? Do you know, Bhakta Priya? Do you have any idea? Take a guess. What would you say? 40 million in this country. 40 million books we've distributed. You're quite a bit off. So just imagine how many devotees there must be. They took a recent survey, you know that, of the age group between the ages of 15 and 18. The Gallup poll did a survey. They found that between the ages of 15 and 18, 1% of the population of the U.S. or between those ages put down, they wrote in Hare Krishna religion. That comes out to 500,000 people just between 15 and 18 consider Krishna consciousness to be their religion. And how many people are there? If 500,000, right? So supposing there's 50 states, so in each state there should be 10,000? 10,000 in the state of Texas. How many devotees are there now?
100,000.
Then that means there's another 9,900 devotees waiting to be made by us. And how are we going to wait? Get them? By sitting in the temple all day? Huh? Well then, yeah, going out and meeting the people. See? So, one who becomes a preacher, he becomes empowered. Without becoming empowered by the Lord, you cannot preach. And when you become empowered, you can become, just like Prabhupada says, avatar. You can become so much empowered, just like an incarnation of the Lord. If your desire is that pure, that can actually happen. It's not a cheap thing, but you can become a pure devotee of the Lord. A pure devotee of the Lord means you're fully empowered by the Lord to spread His glories. So, just like Prabhupada said, Tripurari Maharaj became, in this lifetime, became an incarnation. Book distribution incarnation. So Prabhupada said it, that he's the incarnation of book distribution. So one can become an incarnation of the Lord. What is that incarnation? You can incarnate as the mercy of the Lord, the spiritual master. Spiritual master is called the mercy incarnation of the Lord, because he's distributing freely Krishna's mercy to the incarnation of the Lord. And who is supposed to be the spiritual master, Bhakta Bharat? How many spiritual masters should there be?
One.
But how many forms should he take? Unlimited forms. Everyone is meant to become guru. This is the point. Everyone is meant to become guru. And wherever he goes, whoever he meets,
he's meant to teach them the message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Then you become an incarnation. Wouldn't you like to be an incarnation? So here's how to do it, by becoming a good preacher. And what is the sign of a good preacher? He delivers the message without changing it, unadulterated. Just like there's unadulterated and adulterated. Sometimes everybody's interested in unadulterated products now, especially nowadays when you go to the market. Everyone wants pure things, pure product. So nowadays, no one knows anymore what is pure religion. They've simply been given this unadulterated form of religion. Social programs. Religion, which actually is not religious. I was discussing with one devotee yesterday, and he was telling me that he had no understanding at all when he used to go to church about anything to do with God. There was practically no discussion whatsoever. It was simply a social function. So religion throughout the world has become only that, political or social or economic. It's not actually delivering God. So actually, however, there are many people who want real religion. They want the pure product. Just like in Calcutta, there's that Bhimsen's pure milk sweets. You'll find big, long lines of people waiting to purchase these milk sweets from this particular shop. Because there, everybody knows, you'll get the pure, unadulterated milk sweets. So, gradually, people are already understanding that in their churches and synagogues and temples, they're certainly getting adulterated goods. They're not getting pure religion. Now, they don't know where to get pure religion. But if we show them, here is pure religion, millions of people will join this movement. Millions of people will join. We have to go out and offer it. And this is how, as a guru, that means you have to represent. A man who becomes guru, whoever is a good disciple. What is the sign of a good disciple? He doesn't change in any way the message which he heard from his guru. He tries to deliver not only the words, but in the same way also. That's a very important point. Sometimes the words may be the same, but if you don't know how to deliver the words, the person won't take it. Just like supposing you have an ampule. It has to be injected. You see? It may not have the same effect if you get... Well, I think I'll smear it over the skin. An ampule of medicine, I think I'll just apply it on the skin. It won't work. There's a way to give it also. You see? We have to imbibe not only the teachings, but the method of imparting the teachings. Many times people, they once wrote Prabhupada a letter. I like your books, but I don't like the way they sell them. Prabhupada said, anyway, the fact is what they're selling is pure. They may not be pure yet, but at least what they're selling. But actually, Prabhupada said to us personally, you should also become pure. Why is someone very successful at preaching and someone not? Because he's learned to become a preacher like his spiritual master was a preacher. And what is that quality which helps you to become like that? Compassion. You have to develop compassion. You have to feel for the suffering of others. Paraduka duki kripam buddhi. You have to feel suffering when you see other people suffering. So, physician, heal thyself. Unless you can heal yourself, how you will heal others? Right now, we're all suffering so much ourselves, it's hard for us to worry about the suffering of someone else. And unless you can worry about someone else's suffering, you can't be a preacher. So first preaching, begin with yourself. Physician, heal thyself. Just like it was said in the Bible, cast out the, I forget the word, but cast out the thing in one's own eye before you start looking at somebody else. So what is the beginning of my own recovery? Chanting 16 rounds, following the four principles. Chanting, better not to put it there, that's the fourth time it has fallen. Chanting 16 rounds and following the four principles. This will empower you. When you can do this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will then say, here is a fit person for my mercy. I think I will empower him today. And you'll go out and you'll distribute 100 books. There will be people in this marathon this week who will distribute in one day 500 big books. That will be done within this marathon, you'll see. There was a time when no one could imagine distributing 100 big books. Now there will be someone who will do 500, and one day it will come to 1,000 big books. You mark these words if it doesn't happen. Someone will, somewhere in the world is going to distribute 500 big books in a day. Last year, Ram Vijay, in 9 days, distributed 3,400 books. That means he nearly averaged 400 books a day. Someone will do 500 books in one day at least. Nothing is impossible, providing one becomes empowered by Krishna. And that empowerment requires purity. Purity is the force, you see, when one becomes pure. How do you become pure? By cleansing and scrubbing. Not only the skin, but also the heart. And the method of cleansing the heart? By chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So this morning everybody chanted. Did you all scrub your hearts? Bhakti Vrad, do you feel clean inside? So now what are you going to do? Try and cleanse others, right? What else is there to do? Eat a little prasadam first? Are there any questions then? Anybody have any questions? Yeah.
Is it understood that by Jitanya's or Jitanya's prediction that in every village they'll be chanting, that this will overcome the predictions for this age of illusion?
Just like, is there not chanting being done in Houston? But the Kali Yuga is succeeding also. So side by side, both will succeed. Now we have to win as many men to our side as possible. But it is possible. If the members of the International Society work very, very, very sincerely, without any pause, they can actually reverse the history. They can rewrite history. It is possible. Why not? This movement is not static. It's not history is not a static thing. It can be changed. It can change. Why not? We can deliver this planet. We can deliver the universe. Prabhupada said that. Krishna won't mind if one universe goes back to Godhead. Just like a man who has a bag of mustard seed. Have you seen a mustard seed, how small it is? So small. So if you have a 100 kilo bag of mustard seeds, millions of mustard seeds, if one mustard seed falls out a little hole, do you care very much? It's like that. There are millions and millions of universes. If one of them goes back to God, Krishna won't mind. He's got enough already here. It can happen by our sincere effort. What else is there to do? Questions? Yes?
How does one become prone to sahaja tendencies?
How does one become prone? What does that have to do with the class? Better go back and need some more dough. Any other questions?
Yes, I was just. I know that you have books distribution, and I was just kind of wondering if those other things that you have within the Krishna consciousness movement too. I believe there's other ways.
Yes, there are other ways. Now, I'll give you a good way, for example, that you could do. Another very big part type of preaching is prasadam distribution. This is equally as important, practically. Book distribution is topmost because it covers so many things, but other things, as good, I'll even say, almost as good, prasadam distribution. For example, I have heard now that in Texas there are literally hundreds of thousands of Mexicans and other South Americans. So we can make a very tasty preparation. Our chapatis, they're very similar to those tortillas, isn't it? So we can fill them and roll them and sell them, and we can have 20 mobile carts all over the city selling these Krishna tortillas. That's one example, and there are many other examples. You have something on your mind, particularly? Some idea?
I don't know if you want to stick it in the newspaper and magazines and things like that. With another,
Now, the way to do that, Prabhupada always said, don't advertise, because then you have to spend money, number one. It's very costly, very costly. And number two, when you advertise, people tend to say, well, naturally, everybody will say I'm good about himself. But he said, if you can get newspapers and magazines to write articles, favorable coverage of our movement, that is the best thing.
Yes. About, seeing if you could get on TV and on the radio.
Yeah, very good, very good. See, I feel personally that as far as the public relations media go, when we get another temple, which we intend to do, and we can really show them something, because that's what they're going to want to do. They're going to say, okay, it sounds great, but what? Let's see something. So we have to get a place which is so good that we can bring people there, you know, and they'll really be impressed. We have good places in many other cities. So that, I would say, you know, we can start doing public relations work now, probably to make the press and public media more favorable. But eventually we've got to work for getting a place and making a whole Krishna conscious community, a complete community, so that, you know, when we talk to them, we'll say, look, we think that the civilization which the Western materialists have created is abominable, but we've got something better. You got an hour to spare? The guy say, well, yeah. Okay, come on over and we'll show you what we have. And then you show them a whole community of people living in a model ideal way. Some people working on buildings, maybe a few cows, temple, so many different activities, you know, gardening, and then they'll see, this is a way, music, art, and maybe some art. They'll see a whole thing. They'll say, here it is, with God-centered community, a God-centered community. So, this is something to work for. You see what I'm saying? This is something to work for. What does it require on our part? A little self-control. We've got to control our mind. We've got to control our senses. And if you work to control your mind and senses, within a very short time, they'll come under control. It's not so hard. It seems hard in the beginning, naturally. Everything's hard. You know, imagine the first day you tried to walk when you were a kid. I mean, it looked like it was going to be pretty difficult. You probably fell down every single time you tried to walk. But that didn't stop you from going on trying, because you knew you were meant to walk. So one day you got over it and you did walk. So in the same way, you're meant to be eternal. You're meant to be blissful. You're meant to be full of knowledge. The fact that right now I'm not full of knowledge and I'm not blissful and I don't feel eternal is not going to stop me from working for it, because I know that's what I'm meant to be. And I know that one day I'm going to have to do it. So what is the use of going backwards and saying, well, it's too hard now, when I know sooner or later I'm going to have to do it?
What about advertising on vans and things like that?
Yeah, the only defect with that is that sometimes our vans are, you know, used to take the book distributors out. And if that's what the police would love us, if we put our, you know, here's the Hare Krishna. You know, it's like, great, they just look for the vans, and then wherever the vans are, they know our men are. Sometimes our vans are getaway vans. We have to use our vans as getaway vans. Unfortunately, at this point, we still have to wear various types of, other types of clothing, and sometimes even wigs, because of the, you know, alienation that the people have to Krishna.
And if it's only run by a government, it would be all right, right? That's the way
it is. Yeah, eventually you have to change the government. Prabhupada said that when you can go into a courtroom and see the judge wearing tilak, that will be the day that you'll get justice. Nowadays, there's no justice anymore. In the Kali Yuga, unless you can pay for it, you can't get justice. And right now, we got some big opponents. Just like we're fighting these airport cases all over the country. We want to distribute in the airports. You know who we're fighting? American Airlines, United Airlines, Pan American. We got cases with them. Big airports, billions of dollars are sunk into them, and that's who we're fighting. Pretty hard to get good decisions in the courtroom, isn't it? Without some.
I was just wondering if you ever talked to people on the cert also, to where these people that come on TV or something like Johnny Cash or somebody.
Yeah, we do sometimes. But the thing is, it's described in the Bhagavad Gita, Manusya Nama Sahasra Shuka Shidyatati Siddhaya. Out of many, many men, only one will endeavor for perfection. And out of all those who